John 21. This will be our final sermon of the Summer Fix series, unless Michael and Bob decide to continue on the series. I'll be on vacation the next couple of weeks, so we'll end our Summer Fix series today in John chapter 21. Now, if you've picked up a theme today, if you've picked up a theme this morning, that theme you've likely picked up is that we can really, really, really mess up and find ourselves at rock bottom. And when we do, our loving, merciful, and gracious God is there to forgive us and to restore us and to redeem us. He is good and He is gracious, and He is not the God of the second chance, because we need a lot more than two chances, right? He is the God of another chance. That term, rock bottom, where do you think that term came from? You ever wonder where these phrases that we say come from? The term rock bottom is actually an old mining term, as best as I can tell. When miners would dig out a mine, they would go as low as they possibly could, and they would reach the bedrock, the rock at the bottom, and they were said to be at rock bottom because they couldn't go any lower than that point. But it's come to mean, in our modern vocabulary, it's come to mean that absolute lowest place that we can find ourselves. Sometimes we hit rock bottom because of events that are out of our control. Life happens to us, and it forces us to go to rock bottom. But most of the time, when we hit rock bottom, it's because of the things that we do. The hurt, the pain, the heartache that we inflict on others, that's really rock bottom. Because we're the ones responsible for that hurt. We're the ones responsible for that pain, for that heartache. We're the ones responsible for perhaps betraying Jesus. Maybe you've been at rock bottom before. And maybe you just happened to stumble in here this morning and you're at rock bottom. And you think to yourself, oh man, the guy on stage is talking about exactly what I am going through. And I want you to know, if that's you, if you just happen to stumble in here today and you're at rock bottom, the Lord has a special plan and purpose for you. Because when we get to rock bottom, we make a couple of realizations. Number one, when we get to rock bottom, we feel like we feel very isolated. We feel very alone. But I want you to hear today that you are not alone at rock bottom. Rock bottom can be very isolating. It can also be very demotivating. We want to give up. What's the point? But today I want you to see one word, four letters, H-O-P-E, hope. I want you to see hope at rock bottom, because our God is a God who gives us hope. And all God's people said, amen. Today we're looking at the story of Peter. If there was one person in the Bible who needed another chance, it would be Peter. And so I can relate to Peter very well, and perhaps you can too. This story comes in John chapter 21, and in it we're going to find three recognitions to make when we find ourselves at rock bottom. If you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word as we read a lengthy portion of God's Word this morning, John chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. The Bible says this: after this, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way: Simon Peter, Thomas called Twin, Nathanael from Cana of Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two other of his disciples were together. I'm going fishing, Simon Peter said to them. Well, we're coming with you, they told him. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. When daybreak came, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Friends, Jesus called to them, you don't have any fish, do you? No, they answered. Cast a net on the right side of the boat, he told them, and you'll find some. So they did, and they were unable to haul it in because of the large number of fish. The disciple, the one Jesus loved, said to Peter, it is the Lord. And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tied his outer clothing around him, for he had taken it off, and plunged into the sea. Since they were not far from land, about 100 yards away, the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish. And when they got on the land, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish lying on it and bread. Bring some of the fish you've just caught, Jesus told them. So Simon Peter climbed up and hauled the net ashore full of the large fish, 153 of them. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Come and have breakfast, Jesus told them, and none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them. He did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had eaten breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said to him, "you know that I love you." "Feed my lambs," he told him. A second time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," he said to him, "you know that I love you." "Shepherd my sheep," he told them. He asked him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved that he asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." "Feed my sheep," Jesus said. "Truly I tell you, when you were younger, you would tie your belt and walk wherever you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will tie you and carry you where you don't want to go." He said this to indicate by what kind of death Peter would glorify God. And after saying this, he told him two words, "Follow me." Pray with me. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that you are a God who forgives and restores. Thank you that you are a God who meets us at the bottom. We love you. We pray you're honored and glorified here today. Do your mighty work through this word. And we pray it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You can be seated. Three recognitions to make when you are at rock bottom. Number one, when you fail and when you fall, Jesus will meet you at rock bottom. That's exactly what happened to Peter here. Just a couple of days before John chapter 21, Peter was a bold, faithful, strong leader, and he made some very bold and very public declarations before this point, before John chapter 21. Let me just read a couple of them to you. You'll remember this, Matthew chapter 26, verses 33 through 35. Peter says to Jesus, Peter says these words, "Even if everyone falls away because of you, I will never fall away." And Jesus said, "You want to bet?" Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, tonight before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And Peter doubled down. "Even if I have to die with you," Peter said, "I will never deny you." And then all the disciples said the same thing. That was very bold, and that was very public. And do you remember what happened a couple of hours later when they were in the garden? And Peter took out his sword, and he did what? He cut off the ear of the man who was trying to arrest Jesus. Very bold, very public. And shortly after that, Jesus was arrested. And then Jesus was put on trial, rather, and the prediction that Jesus made of Peter began to come true. Let me just read it to you. You know this story. It says, Simon Peter, this was during the arrest of Jesus. Simon Peter was following Jesus. So he had that much, right? He was at least following Jesus, at least up until this point. He was following Jesus, as was another disciple. In fact, turn in your Bibles to John 18, because I want you to see this with your own eyes. John chapter 18, and look at verse 15. Just turn back a few pages. Simon Peter was following Jesus, as was another disciple. That disciple was an acquaintance of the high priest. So he went with Jesus into the high priest's court, but Peter remained standing outside by the door. So the other disciple, the one known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the girl who was the doorkeeper and brought Peter in. And then the servant girl who was the doorkeeper said to Peter, "You aren't one of this man's disciples too, are you?" "I am not," he said. Now the servants had made a, what does your Bible say there? Charcoal fire. Underline that word. Just make it highlight in your mind. The servants and the officials had made a charcoal fire because it was cold. They were standing there warming themselves, and Peter was standing there with them warming himself. Skip down to verse 25. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself, and they said to him, "You aren't one of his disciples too, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." That's his second denial. And then one of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, said, "Didn't I see you in the garden?" I mean, he would have stuck out. He did cut off a man's ear. "Didn't I see you in the garden?" And Peter denied it again, and immediately a rooster crowed. Peter, the bold, faithful, strong leader, proved himself publicly to become a coward, weak, and faithless follower. It's a matter of minutes. I believe this was Peter's rock bottom. He had publicly said, "I'll never deny you," and then very publicly he did deny him, not once, not twice, but three times. This was rock bottom. But I want you to see what happens at rock bottom. First, I want you to notice something in verses 2 and 3. Don't overlook this. Look in verses 2 and 3. Who is with Peter in verses 2 and 3? Let me just read their names and we'll keep count of how many people are there. There was Simon Peter, so there's Peter. Thomas called the twin. Nathanael from Cana of Galilee. Zebedee's sons, that's two more. And two other disciples were present together. How many people were with him? Six people. So Peter plus six more. And who were these people? The church. Peter was at rock bottom, and guess what the church was doing? At least these six people. They were there with him. He may have wanted to isolate. In fact, I think he did. I can't prove this. It's conjecture, but I think he wanted to isolate in verse 3 when he said, I'm going fishing. I think he wanted to get away and be alone. And his people wasn't going to let that happen. "I'm going fishing," he says in verse 3. "Well, we're coming with you," they told him. And they went out, fished all night, and they caught nothing. The point is this. The church did not abandon Peter when he failed. The church did not abandon Peter at rock bottom. And we dare not do the same when our brothers and sisters hit rock bottom. We walk with them. We walk with them and we bear their burdens and we're patient with them. But it wasn't just the church who was there. I want you to see in verse 4, more importantly, I want you to see who was there in verse 4. Verse 4 says this, "When daybreak came, Jesus stood on the shore." But the disciples didn't know that it was him. "Friends," he called them, "do you have any? You don't have any fish, do you?" "No," they answered. "Why don't you cast your net on the other side, on the right side of the boat, and there you'll find some." And when they did, the haul was so big, the Bible says they could not haul it in. And then notice what happens in verse 7. Look at verse 7. The disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, which, by the way, that's John, the one whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, what does he say? "It is the Lord." And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tied his outer clothing around him, for he had taken it off. And my Bible says that he plunged into the sea. What does your Bible say? Does it say plunged through himself? Listen, have y'all been watching the Olympics? You know those high divers when they get on the that high dive and they dive off of the high dive and they do all these flips and then they go in and the water just kind of goes bloop. Like there's no splash at all. That is not what happened here with Peter. This was a full-on belly flop into the water. He plunged himself into the water. Water goes everywhere. And the question that I want you to consider is, why? Why did Peter plunge himself into the water? Why did he belly flop into the water? Why did he throw himself in the water whenever John said, "That's Jesus"? You want to know why? One word, four letters, H-O-P-E. Hope. He was at rock bottom, and now he finally had hope because Jesus was there. And as soon as he recognized Jesus, he belly flops into the water. And then the Bible says that he, look at your Bible, he ran. There are two times in the Bible when that Peter runs. Two times the Bible tells us that Peter runs. Once is here. And the other time is at the tomb, when the ladies go to the tomb and they come back and they tell Peter and John, "Hey, Jesus is alive." The Bible says that Peter ran. You remember that story? John runs, and you remember John beat Peter to the tomb. Peter runs, and he's a bit of a slower runner, and Peter looks down into the tomb, and Jesus isn't there. Two times that the Bible records Peter running. Which I think means that we should only run two times in our life. But that's just my interpretation. You can interpret that however you like. Here's the thing. Both instances, when Peter runs, both instances can be summed up with one word, four letter, four letters, H-O-P-E, hope. Listen, when it feels lonely, when you find yourself at rock bottom, and then you see the Lord, hope begins to rise within you because it's the Lord who gives us hope. When you find yourself at rock bottom, know you aren't alone. Your church ought to be there, and the Lord will be there. When you fail and when you fall, Jesus will meet you at rock bottom. And when you're at rock bottom, Jesus will call you to repent. So you got the scene, right? Peter had belly flopped into the sea and ran over to Jesus. And look at what happens next. Verse 9. When they got on the land, are you looking at verse 9? They saw what? A charcoal fire. That's now the second time that we've read the word charcoal. In fact, it's only found two times in the Bible, here and back in John 18:18 that we read earlier. You have to ask yourself, why in the world would the Holy Spirit, why would the Holy Spirit through John include that word charcoal? Like, wouldn't it be enough to just say they were warming themselves by the fire when Jesus was on trial? And wouldn't it be enough just to say that there was a fire, there was some fish on it when Peter ran to the shore? Wouldn't it be enough just to say fire? Why did he add the word charcoal? I think that word charcoal is important. I think it matters, not because I'm a fan of charcoal grills, but because I think the word charcoal connects us between the mountain high and the rock bottom. The word charcoal is the key to understanding the link between rock bottom and the top of the mountain. It was at rock bottom when Peter warmed himself by the charcoal fire. It was at rock bottom when he said, "No, I don't know Jesus." Not once, not twice, but three times. It was by the charcoal fire that he hit rock bottom. And the second he gets to shore, he sees a charcoal fire. And don't you think, this is conjecture, but reading the Bible with some color, can't you just see the scene? Jesus is on the shore. He's got a fire going. There's already some fish on it. And he calls out, and they begin to realize it is Jesus. Jesus watches Peter belly flop into the water and run over. And as soon as Peter gets to the shore, can't you see Jesus standing by the fire, looks down at the fire, and looks over at Peter, and Peter looks at the fire and looks up at Jesus. And can't you see in that moment the weight of what Peter had done? The weight of denying Jesus began to come flooding back to his mind. And I don't think Jesus was trying to pour salt in the wound. Instead, I think Jesus was trying to woo Peter to repent. In fact, look at what happens in verse 13. They had eaten breakfast. Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said to him, "you know that I love you. Feed my lambs." A second time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," he said to him, "you know that I love you. Shepherd my sheep." He asked him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved that he asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Feed my sheep." Do you see the word grieved in verse 17? To be grieved means to be full of sorrow. Peter had sorrow in his heart. And I want you to notice the questions that Jesus asked of Peter. He says, first, "Do you love me more than these?" And what he's asking him is, do you really love me more than they love me? Because that was his claim, right? I will die for you, Jesus. And then he didn't. Do you really love me more than they love me? And Peter says, "Well, yes, you know that I love you," and he ended it there. And then Jesus goes on to say, "Do you love me?" In verse 17, verse 16, and verse 17, "Do you love me?" And the Bible says that Peter was grieved. And why did he grieve? Because in that moment he saw his own sin. Jesus was pointing out his sin, but he was doing it with purpose. He was pointing out his sin, but he does that. When Jesus points out your sin, it's not to pour salt in a wound. It's with purpose. The Bible says in Psalm 51:17, David wrote this psalm after he had found himself at rock bottom. David writes this, the sacrifice pleasing to God is a broken spirit. He says, you will not despise, God will not despise a broken and humble heart. God will not despise a broken and humble heart, not because he wants to see you broken and humble, but because when you realize the weight of your sin, the way you have failed the Lord, when you realize that you're the one who spits in the face of God, when you realize that, well, now you're finally ready to repent. And what happens when you repent? Well, that brings us to our third and final recognition. When you're at rock bottom, Jesus will call you to repent. And when you repent, Jesus will forgive you and restore you. Praise be to God that He is a God who is good, gracious, merciful, and loving, and a God who is waiting to forgive. Look at verses 18 and 19. We're almost done here. Verse 18 and 19. Truly I tell you, when you were younger, you would tie your belt and walk wherever you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hand and someone else will tie you and carry you where you don't want to go. He said this to indicate by what kind of death Peter would glorify God. After saying this, he told him what? What did he tell him? Two words. Follow me. Now, my house is a lot like yours in the sense that we have pictures in our home, sayings in our home, things that matter to us. We even have live, laugh, and love in our home somewhere. Do y'all have that? That's a very common one. We have a lot of pictures in our home. One of them that we have is at the very end of our hallway. It's actually one of Carla's friends made it for her. I don't know if you can read this or not. It sits at the end of our hallway, so we see it every day. It's her favorite verse, very important to Carla, important to both of us for sure, but especially meaningful for Carla. The verse is 1 Peter 5:7. It's her life verse, and it says this, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Now, this means something because it's been Carla's life verse for as long as I've known her. It means something to us. It's important. Now, if Peter had something like this hanging in his home, what do you think it would say? I think if Peter had something like this, a very meaningful picture hanging in his home, I think it would say two words, follow me. And you say, that's a bold thing to say. Well, I can't prove it. But I think he would, and I want you to see why. Turn in your Bibles back to Matthew chapter 4 real quick. Matthew chapter 4. If you're there, say, I'm there. If you're not there, say, hold up. If you're there, say, I'm there. If you're not there, say, hold up. Matthew chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 18 through 20 in Matthew chapter 4. This is when Jesus first calls Peter. The Bible says this, Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, as he was walking along the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Verse 19, follow me, he told them, and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. In Matthew chapter 4, when Peter began his journey with Jesus, Jesus said, follow me. And they dropped their nets and they followed him. In John chapter 21, when Peter was at rock bottom, when Peter was at his absolute lowest, Jesus said to Peter, follow me. And he put down his nets and he followed him. Here's the end of it. If you find yourself at rock bottom right now, at this very moment, understand this. You are not alone. Your church will stand with you. I will stand with you. You are not alone. And more important than that, if you find yourself at rock bottom, your Savior will be there with you and for you. Listen, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, then I beg you to do what Peter did. just belly flop. Just come to the Lord. Get to Him as quick as you can. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, repent and come to faith in Christ. And when you do that, the Bible says you will be saved for all eternity. Admit to God you've sinned. Everyone has sinned. Believe that Jesus is the only way to be saved. Believe that Jesus really lived a sinless life, that He really did die a sinner's death. Believe that Jesus died, but believe that He rose again. And confess Him as your Savior and Lord, and you will be saved. I beg you to do that. I beg you to repent and believe. I beg you to put your nets down, whatever those nets are, and follow the Lord. And if you are a believer, if you are a follower of Christ, and you find yourself at rock bottom, don't give up. Look for Jesus, because He'll be there. And when you see Him, you run as fast as you can to Him. If the Lord's moving in your life, let me just say it again. Run to Jesus. It is there that we find hope and help and forgiveness and restoration. Run to the Lord for God's glory and for your good. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your love for us, for your grace, for your mercy, for your kindness. Thank you that you are a God who meets us at rock bottom. You have promised to never leave us and never forsake us, and you will make good on that promise. Father, I pray that right now in this room, if there's those who don't know you, that they might come to know you as Lord and Savior. If there are those who are at rock bottom, I pray, God, that you would remind them, comfort them, minister to them. Use us to minister to them. Use me to minister to them, to walk with them. And Father, I pray that by your goodness and your kindness, that if we're at rock bottom because of things that we've done, I pray that you would help us to repent and help us to turn to you and help us to be forgiven and restored. We thank you for the ways you're going to work in this room at this moment, and we hand it all over to you, praying in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.